kind of stories about someone who is granted three wishes. Whatever they want, they can ask for, and their wish will be granted. And when you're young, and you're asked, you know, what is your first wish? I guess it would be money, gold, fortune, fame, that sort of thing. And then you ask maybe for with a little of astuteness, you might ask for family and the togetherness of family and friends, and that would be a little more appropriate wish if we wish for that. And then all of a sudden, when you're a young person, you realize, I'm running out of wishes. I only have one wish left. And, of course, the joke to that is for your third wish, you wish that you had either three more wishes or lots and lots of more wishes. Seldom when people are thinking of the three wishes that they could wish for, do they think in higher standards like, you know what I want for my first wish? I would like to see a universal peace over all the earth. Now, that would be a great wish to have granted, wouldn't it? Or perhaps I would like to see everyone happy and no one having terrible trials or difficulties. And then we think about the people around the world that are lacking in so many things, lacking in the knowledge of God, lacking in even the needs for their material life. And we might wish for fulfillment in their life's endeavors and hopes for all the people of the world. Well, those last three wishes are kind of a picture of the millennium, when Jesus Christ will have established the kingdom of God on the earth. Let me have you turn over to Matthew 7, brethren, because I'd like to show you that we, the children of God, the people of the church of God, the called out saints right now, have all of our wishes granted. And you might say, whoa, hold on just a second, speak for yourself. You know, you might have all your wishes granted, but I can think of a lot of things that I haven't had granted. All right, brethren, consider it this way. We are the children of God. And as such, we know that His love and His care for us, it exceeds anything that we know. It goes beyond our human consciousness and understanding. We can't realize how much God loves us and how He is granting our deepest wish, maybe even our unknown wishes. But think of it this way. Brethren, we are royalty, spiritually speaking, because God is King. Jesus Christ is our Lord and Master. We are the children of God, spiritually begotten right now with God's Spirit in us. And let's read Matthew 7 and verse 11, where this is being alluded to, that God the Father is the God who has all good gifts and wants His children to have good gifts, just as Solomon wanted to teach his children the Proverbs so they wouldn't have to make the terrible mistakes, so they would be capable of ruling even Israel back then in the kingdom of God to come. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 11. Here's what God says to us. If you then, being evil, that refers to the fact that we are in this carnal nature, this body of sin in the earth, that applies to all men. If you, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, and every parent is more than selective in making sure their children are taken care of, that their children are protected from harm, that their children are fed and cared for in every way conceivable. No parent puts his child in jeopardy. That's what's being referred to here. Parents dote over their children, look out for their children, watch for their children, protect them from every harm. If we do that, how much more shall your Father, speaking of God the Father who's in heaven, give good things to them that ask Him? God gives all the good things to us. God's not going to give us four good things and then one, you know, that breaks our bones and takes our lives or causes us, you know, to be fearful and to fall away. God knows how to give all the good things to us that we need in his infinite wisdom. God is directing, he's guiding, he is causing our lives to turn out so that we will be his children eternally. What more could we ask than to have God himself giving us good things? Let's go over to Romans chapter 8. Now, some people become cynical and they think, well, God hasn't been giving me good things. I could use a bigger car and a bigger house and a bigger job and, you know, more of this and more of that. Brethren, that is not the way God works. It's not always best to give your children, you know, 3 pounds of chocolate before their meal. We as parents know to provide good food for our children, and yet a child might think, you know, I want more candy or cake or Cokes or whatever it is. God is giving us the good things that we need. And that's a promise. That's a promise from the Bible. Romans 8 and verse 28. And here's something that we know. And we know that all things work together for good. Now, that's mutually exclusive. No bad things. There's no bad things that are being given to us by God. All things work together for good. And it goes on to say, for those that love God, that it, obviously we keep God's commandments. That's what the love of God is about. To them who are the called, that's the children of God, the called out ones, those who have received God's Holy Spirit to direct and to empower and to help. According to his purpose, and what is God's purpose? It's to bring many sons in glory to God. So this is better than three wishes. This is giving us every good thing that we could possibly want. Turn over to Psalms chapter 84. You know, it just reiterates, and perhaps back here in Psalms, this is how men like Paul knew that God was withholding no good thing from us and giving us all good things. We read back in Psalm 84 and verse 11, for the Lord God is a sun and a shield. You know, the sun provides the warmth and the growth for food and a shield, you know, to protect and to warm and everything. The Lord will give grace and glory. Two wonderful things that are mentioned specifically. But notice the rest of the verse. No good thing will he withhold. That means that God gives us everything that we need. It says in the scriptures that we are to seek first the kingdom of God, and then he will provide everything. All these things will be added to you. God gives us all good things. What a generous and wonderful God we have. Not only to give us our wishes, because sometimes we don't know what to wish for, but to give us our needs. Here at the end of verse 11 in Psalm 84, no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. That's the same thing that Paul meant when he said, those that love God. That's what walking uprightly is all about. Okay, brethren, let's go in closing with the offertory message. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And as I was putting this little offertory message together, I noticed something that should have been included in the last message that we had when we talked about the wave sheaf and how Jesus Christ is presented to God the Father and how he is accepted by God the Father and how we too on the day of Pentecost will be presented and accepted by God the Father. And I ran across this verse in working on this offertory message today. Let's pick it up here in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 14. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 14. Knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus, and we know that God the Father raised Jesus back to life, shall raise us up also by Jesus. Now that's talking about our resurrection. And shall present us. Now, present us how? That's exactly the way Jesus was presented to the Father at the wave sheaf. We will be presented as the Pentecost offering, the two loaves. You know, this word, he shall present us, it means he stands beside us. He stands in for us as our counselor. and he recommends us for acceptance and approval. So I thought that was good. Let's continue this thought, verse 15. For all things are for your sakes. Again, not just, you know, three wishes. Everything that we need for salvation, for eternal life, all things are for your sake. How thankful should we be to God at this time of offering, brethren, that the abundant grace, God's abundant grace, is an infinite grace. God continues to give and to give and to give, and God has it to give. Might, through the thanksgiving of many, redound to the glory of God. It turns around and shows how great and glorious God is, verse 16. For which cause we faint not. That's why we endure to the end. God is giving us every good gift. But though our outward man perish, yes, our days will come to an end, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. This is especially with spiritual gifts. For our light affliction. All right, brethren, we're going to talk about our present distress today. Yes, days are difficult. Times are difficult. But in comparison to the eternal glory of God, the trials, the tests, the afflictions, and the distress that we go through right now are but a light affliction. Verse 17, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, works for us a more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. We can't put that in our little melon-sized heads, brethren. And in concluding here in verse 18, while we look not at the things which are seen, our wishes, our hopes, the good gifts that God has for us are spiritual, beyond anything that are seen. But at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, they're temporary, they're passing, they're vain, they're just here for a moment. But the things that God gives us, all good things that he withholds none of, the things which are not seen are eternal. What a tremendous blessing it is that God gives us such great gifts. It's our opportunity this first season of the year to bring our offering to God. And while we are taking up the offering, brethren, or preparing our envelopes or whatever it is that we do to make an offering to God, we'll have special offertory music.